everyone. Thanks for tuning into this week's message. My name is Gregory, and I'm part of the team here at Friends Church. Everything we do around here depends 100% on the generous donations of our local and online communities. That's people just like you who believe that life really is about leaving a positive mark on our world. So if you love what Friends Church is up to, I'd like to encourage you to contribute by going to friendschurch.ca. With that, let's jump into this week's message.
Good morning. Welcome to Friends Church. I know we know these people as Alessandra and Adam, but they're also known as Too Late to the Party. I don't know if you guys know that. The number two, spelled like the number two, Too Late to the Party. They have an album. An album? I just really dated myself. They have something that you stream coming out in November, and they have a new single out right now called RVM, which I believe stands for River Valley Mountain. Right? Take a look. You can find it on Spotify. You can find it on Apple Music, all that kinds of stuff. I'm also here to talk to you a little bit about an event that's coming up and how you can be part of what keeps Friends Church going. So next week, we will have the launch of our kids program. I was told that you can find all the information you need if you go to friendschurch.ca. We will be following all AHS protocols, and your children will be safe if they come with you to Friends Church next week. I'm on the board of directors here at Friends Church, and it's important for me to let you know that that's a really big deal for me. I grew up in a number of different types of churches. I've visited a number of different types of churches, and this church, in my opinion, is unique, and that's why I'm a part of it. And if you find value in what you see here, whether you're watching on YouTube or whether you're watching the podcast or whether you're sitting here in the room with us, we just want you to know that there's a way that you can contribute to keep this going. And that you can do it through, if you go online, if you have the mobile app, that's probably the easiest way, a couple of clicks, and you can give on a monthly basis or a one-time basis, and it helps us do what we do here, which is help you live a better life and contribute more to your community and our community. And we want to thank all of you that are already doing that. You're the reason this stuff gets pushed out into the social media, pushed out to YouTube. And if you're watching us, like, share, subscribe. What else can we do? Comment. All those things that you can do to let everyone know what we're doing here at Friends Church.
Thanks, Josh. Good morning, everybody. You guys are super mellow today, aren't you? Well, you know what? Actually, I'm going to keep you in a mellow place, because we're going to start with a story today that I want you to... This story has literally been stuck in my brain for a couple years since I first heard it. So, and it's just... It's one of those stories that just profoundly disturbs me. Not because it's... Well, it's going to be graphic content, but it's a story that keeps making me go deeper and deeper. And so I want to share the story with you today, because we're at the spiritual gym. And I want you to wrestle with this. And the story starts kind of like many stories do. A guy and a girl, heterosexual couple, they meet at a party at college. Having a few drinks, maybe quite a few drinks, as it does happen in college. And they're with a bunch of friends that came with different groups. And the way the story was told to me was really kind of bare bones. So I'm going to just flesh it out a bit more to give you the heart of the story if I can. So they meet at a party, and it's kind of that instant connection. Pretty soon, you know, they're off in the corner having this amazing conversation. The party's happening. It's going good. He cracks a little joke. She laughs. He loves the sound of her laugh. At one point, the music gets loud, and so she leans in to share something, and she touches his arm, and he's like, oh, yeah, I'm liking this. Just vibing. At one point, he goes and grabs her a drink, comes back. She waits for him the whole time. Finally, she says, hey, do you want to get out of here? He says, oh, man, I'd love to. So they start saying goodbye to all their friends, and everyone's giving them the, you know, thumbs up and the wink and the like, hey, nice work. And so they go into the park, and they're holding hands and walking through the park. And he says, oh, I so want to kiss you right now. She says, I would love that. They find a park bench and just start making out. You know, young love, a starry sky. Well, if it wasn't in the city, it'd be a starry sky, but imagine a starry sky. They're just having the most amazing time. Finally, she says, "Hey, I live alone. You want to come to my house?" He says, "Of course I would." So the makeup party goes back to her house, and they start making out there. Again, having this just like such connection through the whole thing. Talking through, you know, "Hey, are you good with this? Oh, yeah, I'd love that. Let's do this. Oh, for sure." Finally, he says, "Hey, can we take off our clothes?" She says, "Yeah, bring it. Let's do this." And finally, they have the conversation that now younger kids have. They say, "Hey, do you want to have intercourse?" And they're both like, "Hells yes, I do." She lays back. He kneels on top of her. It's going so well. Until she notices she has a lapse of kind of concentration at one point. It's like, what was that? Okay. And then she's back into it. They're having this amazing connection time. But then she finds herself kind of disconnecting from her body again. And she keeps shaking it off and, you know, they're back to having a great time. But at some point she realizes, "I can't get back to my body." Something's happened and she's now disconnected from the moment. The fun, the joy, the excitement, the sexuality that they've shared, that they've discussed, they've, you know, enjoyed to this moment, suddenly something's starting to slip for her. What starts off as a disconnect starts to slide towards pain, not physical pain. Something inside of her. "This isn't working. I... And the pain builds until a tear starts to roll down her cheek. What started off as this beautiful sexual experience, consensual all the way through, excited, enjoyed, wanted, has shifted to something painful. The guys enjoyed up until, you know, sitting on the bench with her, making out with her, having these great conversations, saying, "Hey, do you want to do this?" "Yes, I do." Consensual all the way through. And now to have intercourse, he's like, "This has been fantastic." Until he looks down at her and he sees the tear. And he stops instantly. Checks in. "Whoa, what's, are you okay?" But by that point, she's rolled into a ball, her back to him. A couple weeks later, the university kicked him out of school for sexual assault. You see, when the administration started to investigate what had happened, they found a story of a couple who had consensual making out, consensual going back to their place, consensual getting naked, consensual intercourse. They both agreed it was consensual right up to the moment of those tears. And they both agreed that the second he saw her tears, he stopped instantly. But for her, the time between when this started to hurt, psychically hurt, emotionally hurt, and when he saw her tears, in that moment she felt assaulted. They both agreed. It wasn't minutes. It was tens of seconds. Now, if you're anything like me, this story just, it's disturbing. What's right and wrong? I don't want anyone to have a sexual encounter that doesn't feel good. And so her being hurt in that moment, I don't want that. And balanced on the other side, I look at a couple who tried to negotiate consent all the way through, and within tens of seconds, there was a lapse. And then it was caught and dealt with. And in that moment, he became a sexual predator. I don't know about that either. The story is profoundly disturbing, isn't it? I heard it from a coach. It's a woman. She works with people who've been expelled from universities for sexual assault, like the guy. She helps him apply to get into a different school so he can continue his education. Because that 15-second lag between when she started crying and when he noticed the tears, it ended his education. What's right and wrong here? Who's right? Who's wrong? Is there even a way to draw a line between those? Disturbing. Now, the easy answer is to say, I'm a man, he's a man, I'll side with him. Or I'm a woman, she's a woman. I don't want ever any woman to experience that. Or I'm a man and I identify with this way of, but see how we're trying to take a really crazy, complex story and simplify it? I don't know that you can. And here's my point. Much of our lives is complex like that, isn't it? Right now, some of you are saying, maybe. I was thinking, right, but there's black and white, right? Right? There's things that are true and not true, right and wrong. This whole message is about right and wrong. So there's stuff that's right and wrong. The other day, weeks, maybe months ago, my bike got stolen. Someone broke into our condo, locked front door, locked storage locker, locked inside area, locked storage area, then cut the lock on my storage locker, cut the massive cable that had my bike locked to something else, and stole my mountain bike, my really expensive mountain bike. That's wrong, right? Can we get an amen for that's wrong? Hells yeah. Except, what if the person was doing it to put food on the table for their kids? Still kind of choked, but like, they probably need the money more. What if they were being coerced? What if someone was forcing them to do that? Suddenly that stolen bike just seems a bit, it's complex. Even something like my bike being stolen, which seems black and white, you can tell. You tell me the right story, and all of a sudden I'm going, oh, boy. Yeah, that kind of changes things, doesn't it? Our brains are really fascinating. I'm going to talk about our brains. So there's the part that's in my melon. But let me talk about it as a metaphor. We have different brains inside of our brain. And one of the brains we have, it's this brain that basically is the cheapest, easiest, least expensive thing our body can use to navigate through the world. It's the brain that when you drive home and you don't remember anything of the drive, it drove you home. It doesn't use any glycogen, so when you eat, it turns into sugar. Sugar goes into your brain. That's how you feed your brain. When you see those really fun studies where you see these parts of your brain lighting up, they're checking to see how much energy is being used. This part of your brain uses almost no energy. This is the part of your brain that when you're sitting there going, should I go for a run or should I sit on the couch and watch Netflix? It always says Netflix because it takes no energy. And besides, you're going to have a bag of chips on your lap and that'll be more, Why do I tell you this? Because that part of our brain likes things really black and white. I'm going to call it our social media brain. Bit cheeky, isn't it? You notice how in social media, almost everything is black and white? On Twitter, in 160 characters, they think they can to speak to complex issues, issues that we've been wrestling with as a society for decades, generations. And in 160 characters, you can solve that issue? He's a sexual predator. She should have said something. Right? Social media brain. It's literally just our brain, that part of our brain that likes everything black and white, simple, threat, no threat. It's running our lives. And so when you look at the world through your social media brain, it looks for everything as black and white. I'm a man, he's a man. Great, I'll vote for him. It just wants simple. It doesn't want to think. It doesn't want complex. It doesn't want the spiritual gym. Vince, just tell me the answer already. But there's another part of our brain. I'm going to call it our podcast brain. I don't know about you, but I love podcasts. I will sit and listen to some expert ramble on for 2.5 hours about some minutia of like the computer programming inside of an active speaker that I have on my desk and the philosophy behind why they did it that way. 2.5 hours. Not a waste of my life. Profoundly beautiful moment, right? Oh, that's why they do that. Oh, the crossover's there. Oh, brilliant. Podcast brain. Podcast brain takes a tremendous amount of energy. When you use it, and you don't use it regularly, when you use it, you're tired. You'll be hungry. But your podcast brain, that long-form discussion, that part of your brain that can think through gray, think through complexities, think through all the stuff that goes on behind any story, that brain, if you're willing to use it in your life, can handle stories like I started with. Can handle the tension between, I don't ever want anyone to have a sexual experience that's painful. And he missed her tears for 15 seconds. And it ruined his life. I can hold those in tension. Social media brain? No, pick. Black and white. What is it? Podcast brain? Ah, I can wrestle with this. Think through your life. How often are you using your social media brain? Think about issues that come up in our society. Complex, big, challenging issues. Poverty, climate change, racism. What part of your brain are you using to deal with that? Now let me take it a step further. Jesus has this great line. He says, don't look at the speck in someone else's eye until you deal with the log in your own eye. Isn't that a great line? It's basically like, look, you got enough shit going on, deal with your own shit, don't try and point out their shit. That's what he's meaning. It's about judgment. But there's this whole tradition in Jewish spirituality that's part of our tradition. It's called Midrash. You take a line and you don't focus so much on what the author said, you focus on what rings your bell. When I read this line, you know what I thought about? I thought about this. Chances are, let me do this, because this is a, how many people have a log in their eye? Put up your hand. I got two, so I'm going to put up two hands. But here's the deal. Why is it that I have a log in his line, and I look at yours, and it looks like a speck? Could it be that when my social media brain looks at you, it doesn't look for the complexity. It looks for the speck, and it says, I can make a choice off that. You're a man, you're bad. You have gray hair, you're not wise. You're wearing a yellow sweater, so that looks great. I'm not sure what to say about that one. But anyways, you see how our social media brain looks at a speck of somebody else and then makes a black and white decision. Like, I know what happened. Easy, right? I see a speck, bam, I can judge the whole thing. We're at South Fisher, so just outside of Bragg Creek, there's a dirt bike area. Finished dirt biking, sitting around having a beer, looking at the stars, and I was noticing this incredible star. It just made me think about that speck. I look at that speck in the sky and think, oh, it's gorgeous. But is that a star, that speck in the sky? Think about what made that speck. A celestial body, what, a billion times bigger than our Earth? A billion times bigger than me? I don't know. Does anyone, astronomy buffs? Like, ridiculously big. When you see this speck in someone else's eye, when your podcast brain comes into play, it sees the speck and goes, I bet you there's an entire star behind that story, behind that moment. Anyone remember O.J. Simpson? In criminal court, he was accused of killing his ex-wife and friend. Can we all agree there's a celestial body of information behind there? I didn't even spend time reading it. Because what brought me to the story was something different. So he gets accused in criminal court for killing these people. We all watched him do like that, you know, the drive down the freeway and all that business. I don't know about you, but everyone was like, seriously, we know the answer to this, right? Spec. When he was acquitted, when he was found not guilty of killing those two people, the world went bananas. But here's the fascinating thing, and this is why I think social media brain is so destructive. When they surveyed the community around, so the American population, they did a survey of everyone and said, what do you think of the verdict of O.J. Simpson being innocent? You know, it's one of those like happy, not happy, you know those boxes that they do, neutral, not happy at all, super not happy, angry. They actually had an angry box. When they surveyed this, half of the white and Latino population said, I am angry at this verdict. Not unsatisfied, not annoyed, not slightly perturbed, not neutral. I am angry that this is how this was handled. When they surveyed the black population, 4% were angry. We've never had a case up until that point that was so divided on race lines. Now, if you look at this through your social media brain, you say, I'm black, he's innocent. Or I'm white, and I support Black Lives Matter, therefore he's innocent. Do you think that his race is enough to know the celestial body of information to judge whether or not he's innocent of killing someone or not? Do you think it's as simple as looking at that speck and saying, I can look at someone's race and I know what happened? That's what our social media brain wants. Make it black and white for me. Make it simple. I just want to go and eat chips and watch Netflix. I don't want to do the hard work of going, okay, well, race is part of this. So is, you know, evidence. So is character witnesses. So is blah, blah, blah. I don't even know all that goes into these things, but you know what I'm getting at, right? There's a celestial body. There's a sun-sized amount of information. Some lawyer has a beach house in the Bahamas off that sucker. That's how complex this is. And it takes our podcast brains to be able to engage at that depth. And yet, what I see our society doing is shifting more and more towards the podcast, or sorry, the social media brain. Make it simple. Make it easy. Look at Canada. Indigenous relations. We've been working at this for 130. How old's Canada now? 130-something? Any teachers in the room? Josh? Hey, there we go. We've been trying to deal with this for 153 years. I don't know the answer to this. I started off studying it. I looked at the colonizer, indigenous kind of boxes, the specs, right? I'm white, therefore I'm a colonizer. As I'm studying this, especially here in Treaty 7, which is Alberta, southern Alberta, every time I read a new book, the rabbit hole got deeper. The celestial body of content behind this issue got bigger. I realized, oh my goodness, my social media brain can't take it. It wants black and white. It wants to know the answer. Just make it simple. I have a Netflix show to go watch. But as I wrestle deeper, as I burn those calories, I see the complexity of our world. Malcolm Gladwell tells the story of Sandra Bland and Officer Encina, I think is how you say his name. A white woman pulled over for failure to signal. Sorry, a black woman pulled over by failure to signal by a white cop. After she's arrested, after the whole interaction goes south, she's arrested and she commits suicide. He spends an entire book showing you that it's not as simple as a black woman and a white officer. It's training, it's history, it's how many tickets she had before, it's everything that's ever happened to her. Is our world social media thinking black and white? Okay, I got a funny story to tell you. My wife, she's hilarious. She let me tell you this story. So we go to bed together every night. We snuggle, and then we assume sleeping positions, which means we roll over to our corners of the bed and go to sleep. And in my family, what you say in this moment is, sleep well, right? It's a nice thing. First couple times, I was like, babe, sleep well. And she points at me, and she's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't actually know what I'm doing right now because I just said sleep well and you're freaking out. What just happened? Speck in her eye, if I had to look at that, what do I say? You're being crazy. I'm just trying to say goodnight, like, geez, take it easy, right? That's my social media brain. Black and white. I said something nice, you're freaking out, you're wrong, I'm right. Done. Netflix and a bag of chips, please. Podcast brain says, and this was 5 years later, podcast brain finally kicked in and said, babe, what do you hear when I say sleep well? She's like, you're demanding. Your tone is trying to tell me what to do. It's like you're like this parent who's like chiding me and like telling me like, you need to sleep good. What are you doing? Why aren't you sleeping already? Her growing up years, her relationship with her parents, her history, all of that is the star behind the speck of sleep well. Do you see how this isn't just in big issues, but this goes into every part of our lives? Just take a second and think through the last time someone did something that really bothered you, offended you, pushed your buttons. Just take a second and just put yourself there. Maybe they cut you off in traffic, I don't know. Can you feel that moment? Now, what does your social media brain want to do? They're right, wrong, I'm right. They did something bad, I'm the victim, right? Or maybe your brain likes to screw with you. I'm sure they're right, I'm bad because I'm a bad person. Easy, right? Simple solution. I'm always wrong. Do you see how the social media brain affects our everyday relationships? It wants things easy. It wants black and white. Is it ever that simple? So let me give you an antidote. Put yourself back in the position where somebody did something to bother you. For me, it's always road rage, right? Someone cuts me off. And I don't even want to see the celestial body. I want the freaking speck that says, you cut me off, and I'm going to lose my mind on you right now. I was talking with someone else from church the other day, by the way. She also has road rage, so I'm not alone. I know none of you do that, but it's just me. In that moment, I don't want anything other than the speck. The speck lets me get mad. I just want to look at, you're a bad driver, and you made me angry. Great, I can lose my mind now. So what's your thing? Put yourself there. Now, in that moment when your social media brain wants to say, like, hey, look, I know what to do here. Here's what I want you to do. Ask the person in your mind one question about what happened. Ask them three questions. Why did you do that? When I said that and you reacted, what was going on there? Sleep well. You're mad. What do you hear when I say sleep well? Do you hear how those questions shift your brain from social media thinking, black and white, easy peasy, I can judge whatever I want, into, wait a second, now I'm curious. If the person's not even in front of you, try this. Next time someone cuts you off, tell yourself three stories about why it was okay they cut you off. They just got a call, someone they love has been rushed to the hospital, and they need to get there. How do you feel about them cutting you off right now? This person just, let's say you're driving down Deerfoot and someone's going, 95 kilometers an hour. Let's just even be even more egregious. They're going 100 kilometers an hour in a 100 kilometer an hour zone. Who does that? In the fast lane. Like, you should be arrested for stuff like that. Oh my goodness. What if you told yourself the story, and this is the story I tell myself. This person was just in a horrible accident where people were horribly hurt, and this is the first time that they've driven again since that moment. Okay, 100 in a 100 zone. Okay, I'll just pull around you, right? No. Someone's like, nope, not good enough. I want you to tell me what story would make it good enough. But do you see what we're doing? We're taking the black and white part of our brain, and by asking a question, we force it into that podcast part. The one that asks questions. That one that spends 2.5 hours analyzing the digital processing within inside an active speaker. Once we ask questions, our social media brain doesn't want questions. Don't make it more complex. She's a woman. She didn't want to have sex in that way in that moment. It's sexual assault. Easy. Asking a question is just going to make me have to use a whole ton of energy, and I just want to sit on the couch and watch Netflix. But as soon as we ask questions, as soon as we're willing to be curious, to go deeper, to say, hey, what's going on there? What did you feel right then? Hey, we agreed to this, but you didn't do it. Can you tell me what happened? Do you see how it shifts? Do you see how your brain doesn't want it to shift? I'm telling you, it's not a judgment. It's just energy conservation. Your brain wants to run the cheap system, and that's the social media system. And right now we have an entire industry built to work on that part of our brain. But here's what I believe. And as I see your faces and see the nods in your, kind of as you nod, you see this too. The world is not social media simple, black and white. It's way more complex than that. What I've watched over the last while is social media thinking starting to take over. I'm seeing fights between people who someone says, hey, can I ask a question about that? No, you can't. It's black and white. This is the answer. That's the wrong answer. You're either with us, you're against us. You're either yes or you're no. Simple. It's not complex. Let's try this one. Are you guys for Trump or against Trump? Anyone podcast brain kick in, or was it all black and white thinking? Nice, I got some people back there, right? I have a friend who's a huge Trump supporter. And I'm like, hey, tell me what's going on for you. And he starts sending me these articles of things that have actually gone well. And I was like, huh. My brain wanted to social media that sucker. You're either for him or against him. If you're for him, we're not friends. Do you see how our social media brain starts to undermine freedom of speech? No, no, no. If you want to ask a question, no, 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 no. This is the answer that we all hold because we're all in our social media brain. It's black and white. And I watch people scared to talk. I watch people suppressing what they think and it coming out in bad ways in other parts of their lives. I think our life, our world, our society deserves podcast brain thinking. A deep interaction with the complexities of our lives. Things are not that simple most of the time. And I get that we all want to go to black and white thinking, but here's the question I have for you. What's that doing to your world? What's that doing to the people you love? What's that doing to the people you have casual connection with? What is that kind of thinking doing to the world around us? Is it bringing more love? I look at me and Elle, and there's a moment where I say, sleep well, and she blows up at me, and I can go black and white thinking, you're wrong, you're overreacting, you're crazy, right? I can do that, and I did that, let's be honest. But what does that do for us? Is there love there? No. I'm going to look at the speck in your eye, and I'm going to make a higher judgment based on that one speck without going any deeper. What would happen to our world? What would happen to your world if you're willing to go deeper than that? Jesus says, don't look at the speck in your eye without looking at the log in your own. And I'm saying this, when you see the speck, ask more questions, go deeper. Find the celestial body behind that. And once you've learned all of that, if you're willing to make a decision, I think there's love there. My encouragement for each of us, for myself probably more than you guys, is stop the social media thinking. Stop judging on that speck. Stop losing it on traffic. Stop making a snap decision on somebody, just being able to say, oh, you're like me or you're not like me or whatever I'm doing, all the different things that we are doing. And let's burn the calories and go deep. And show the people in our lives that we see them and we love them and we're willing to see all the complexities. That's my wish for us all today. May we stop black and white thinking and go deep. Amen. Next week, Jeff's going to come in. He's going to talk about the purpose of life. If that's not foundational, I don't know what is. We'll see you all then. Have a great week, everyone. Take care.